Anyway, let's move on this morning. We're in this series that we're called Calling Barriers, okay? How many people, just by a show of hands, how many people were able to be with us last week for barriers, okay? And what we're doing in this series is we're defining a barrier than anything that prevents us from achieving God's will for our life. Because I know that we're people that sometimes we may not understand that, but we do want God's will to be carried out in our life. But often there's a barrier that keeps us from achieving God's will, okay? And I know that God's will is talked about a lot. People want to know what God's will is, and they usually say, is it a job? Lord, what is your will for my job? What is your will for where I live? I think those things are important. I don't want to downplay that, but I think there's bigger rocks, if I can say bigger rocks, bigger things that are God's will for every single person that he wants to make sure that you're walking in. And I just want to mention two of those things that I believe without a doubt that are God's will for you, for me, for all of us here this morning. Number one comes from 2 Peter 3:9, where it says, he, referring to God, is patient with you. And I think on the slide I said your name. God is patient with you, with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but he's wanting everyone to come to repentance. God is wanting us all to repent, to turn from our sins and turn to him so we can be a part of the family of God, so we can be a follower, so we can be a Christian, okay? That's God's will for every single person. Here's the deal. God doesn't force this upon you. It's called free will. How many people are thankful for free will? God gives us free will to choose, will we accept or will we reject the greatest gift being Jesus Christ? And that's up to every person, but it's the most important decisions hands down in your life that you'll ever make. And that is, what will you do with Christ? Will you repent and turn from your sin and turn to Christ, or will you continue on your own path? Don't want to go much further today without saying this. If you've never repented of your sins and turned from sin and saying, Lord, I want to follow you, why are you waiting? It's the most important decision, not only for your life, but for eternity. And that's why Jesus Christ came to die for you, for me, for all of us. That's the biggest deal in life. It doesn't matter where you live, where you go to school. This is the big deal. Amen? Then there's a second one that I know that's God's will for everyone, and that comes from Romans 8:29. It says, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to, let's read this together, become like his son. Meaning this, God's will is that after you repent and turn from your sins, that's just the beginning of a wonderful journey. And the journey is called spiritual growth. And I want to let you know, none of us are ever reached that point where we're done. Only day you'll be done is the day that you're dead. I mean, I hate to be so blunt, but the whole deal is, as long as you're breathing, as long as you're existing, God's will is that you continue to grow and grow and become more like who? Everybody say it, more like Jesus. How many people want to live with people that look more like Jesus? We all do. It's awesome. So that's God's will. That's called spiritual growth. And as we said last week, that spiritual growth isn't going to come without some opposition. There's going to be barriers that come our way. And last week we looked at a barrier, and I just want to do a quick quiz. Does anybody remember what the barrier we talked about last week that keeps many people from becoming more like Christ? Anyone? Everybody just say thoughts. Your thoughts, your toxic thinking can keep you from moving and being more like Jesus. What you think. Joyce Myers calls it what? She calls it stinking thinking. And we defined stinking thinking last week four ways. Anytime we have negative thoughts, times we have fearful thoughts, times where we have thoughts where we're just always discontented. And here's a big one for me, when you're just continually critical. And what happens is those thought processes can keep us from being more like Jesus. Is anybody in the same boat as me? You need help with your thought life. Amen. It's a daily thing. I could preach this message once a month, and it would do all of us a lot of good. You know what I mean? Because there's some things we need to be continually reminded of. Your thought life, we either make or break you. It's a big deal. It's a big, big deal. Today I want to talk about another big deal. And the big deal I want to talk about today that keeps a lot of people from spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, becoming more like Jesus is this. Critical words. Everybody just say that. Critical words. So we're just going to talk about critical words for a few minutes. And I want to begin this conversation with this quote on the screen. And I want to ask you, how many people have seen this quote before? The quote, "You know what? I misbehaved this morning. I didn't bring my PowerPoint to the sound guy. That's a bummer. I put a lot of time into that." Just bad thinking process, okay? So here we go. How many people have heard this quote before? It didn't need to be on the screen. Sticks and stones. The rest of you, I think you've heard it. You're just afraid to say it. So let's all say it together. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Let me just say that by myself once. Sticks and stones may break my bones. But listen to this. I think it's ludicrous. It's wrong. It says, but words can never hurt me. True or false?
False.
True or false over here? This is what it should say, and it would say if I was on the ball here. Sticks and stones can bruise our bodies maybe for a few days, a week, day, months. But how many people know words can scar your soul for life? Words can scar your soul for life. How do I know? Because there's been some words that have scarred some people I know very well. Words that were spoken years previously, but they're still impacting their today. And my assumption here today is there's people in this room that you're in the same boat. There's something that someone has said, and you wish it was a stick or a stone that broke a bone, but really it was a toxic word that scarred your life forever, forever. But I want to let you know this. Our words don't only have the ability to be toxic. Our words also have the power to build people up. Our words also have the power to lift people up. So our words can hurt or they can help. And what I want to do is I want to share a few scriptures with you this morning. I would suggest, since I didn't put these on the PowerPoint, that you write them down and look at them later. There's a scribble sheet right in front of you. I would encourage you to write down these proverbs. They're all good. Proverbs 18:21 says this, "The tongue can bring death or life." Agree or disagree? One translation says it this way, life or death are in the power of the tongue. So the words you say can be life-giving, or those words can bring death to those people who hear, okay? Proverbs 12:18, write that down. Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words, what do? They pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words, they can pierce like a sword, but the tongue that speaks wise words can bring healing to the people who hear them. A lot of people in our world today need healing, by the way. And healing can come just by the right words. Two more. Proverbs 15:4 says, "Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." So your right words can be a tree of life. One more verse. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Gracious words," I love this one, "are like a honeycomb." How many people just, that's sweet, isn't it? "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." So your words can be sweet to people. They can bring healing to their bones. So as what I want you to see here this morning as we journey and talk about the power of our tongue, the power of our words, and that is that your tongue can be used for good, it can be used for negative, it can be used for positive, it can bring life, or it can bring death. It's all the choices that you make, how you're going to use your tongue, okay? Let's just talk about some negative, toxic words that, just share with you a few examples of negative, toxic words. For example, don't raise your hand if you've ever heard these, but these are some negative things that people say, toxic words that people say, "I hate you." Wow. "You'll never amount to anything." That's toxic. "I never loved you. I'm leaving you." "You're nothing like your brother." "You're stupid." "You're an idiot." I even hate to say that out loud. Why it's so toxic? "You'll never make it." "You know what? You'll never change." "Believe me, you'll never change." "Why can't you be more like so-and-so." Parents, hopefully we never said this one. "I wish you were never born." Those are toxic Those are words that can bring death. Those are words that pierce like a sword. Those are words that crush a spirit. And they can last for a lot of time, a long time, a lot of years. Have you ever heard those type of words? But there's also words like this that are words that are life-giving, that are like honey. Words like, I believe in you. How many people have ever heard that from somebody? I believe in you. What does that do to you? Really? Yeah, I believe in you. Here's one. You can do it. You're special. Here's one I think we need to say more often to those closest to us. I appreciate you. I'm proud of you. You knocked the ball out of the park today. Wow. You're something else. I love you. I like you. If I had to do it all over again, Heather, I'd marry you again. Woo! How many people? It's just getting better, man. Almost 20 years. It's just like, this is good. I'd marry you all over again, Heather. I mean that with all my heart. You're the answer to my prayers. God has big plans for your life. Those are life-giving words, and we need to learn how to say these words, share these words. So what I want you to see here today is very simple, that your words that you speak every day, your words have tremendous power. Your words have tremendous power. Teachers, your words have tremendous power. Coaches, your words have tremendous power. Parents, man, your words have tremendous power. So what I want to do is I want to just leave you today with three challenges when it comes to the words that you use. Here they are. And I apologize again for not providing this for you. Challenge number one. I want to challenge every single person here today to guard your heart against toxic words that may come your way. I want to say that again because you need to register what I'm saying here. I want to challenge you that you got to guard your heart against toxic words that may come your way. Here is a very important lesson for every single person to learn, and that is this. You can't control what other people say. I want everybody to hear that. I want my sons to hear that. I want every person to hear this. You can't control what other people say. But I tell you what you can control. You can control what you receive and you believe. Did everybody catch that? That could change your life. Did everybody catch that? Say yay. You can't control. Some people just have a bad day. Some people are just... Maybe you misinterpreted what they say. Some people are just downright nasty. And they just like to spew things out. You can't control what other people say, but you can control what you believe and what you receive. Listen to the words of Proverbs 4. Solomon says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to those to their whole body." And here's the great advice, a great verse to memorize, Proverbs 4:23. He says, above all else, Proverbs says, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. And what we need to do is we need to guard our heart against a lot of things that come our way. But one of the ones we're talking about this morning is you need to guard your heart against toxic words that come your way. Why? Because you know what? You're not what other people say you are. You're who God says you are. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You're not what other people say you are. You're who God says you are. I know of a pastor that's a very successful pastor in our country. He has literally hundreds of satellite churches. And years ago when he went to be ordained and sat before a panel of people who were going to give him the power to have the papers to be a minister, they sat before him, and at the end of the interview, they told him, you know what, you might want to consider doing something else. He went back to his pastor, brokenhearted, and his pastor told him what I told you. You're not what other people say you are. You're who God says you are. If he would have listened to that, there would have been hundreds of churches in our country today that would not be up and going but because he listened to what God called him to do. Yay, God. Amen? And I just want to encourage you today that there's times when people say things to you, you need to play the old game. The old game is what? Truth or trash. Let's play a little truth or trash. I'm going to say something, and you're going to tell me, is it truth or is it trash? Because what we do with the trash is we do what? We take it to the what? The curb. And we let it get taken away. Truth or trash? You'll never make a difference in this world. Okay, you're doing good. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. You're an ugly person. You're beautiful in the sight of God. You're a loser. You know what? You've messed up one too many times. God doesn't love you anymore. You guys get it. Here's what you need to do now. Leave church with that. And when people say things to you this week or in this upcoming school year, I have found out, especially in middle school, some of these kids say some of the meanest things to each other. And man, if you can get a kid to figure out what's truth or trash, they can have some victories in their life. I want to instruct all you young people as you go back to school, there's just going to be some people that are just nasty. Learn to determine what's truth or trash. And take the trash to the curb and leave it there. Don't try to get it back again. Leave it there and fill your mind with the truth of God's word. Amen? So I want to challenge you, guard your heart. Well, second challenge, I challenge you to speak life-giving words to others every opportunity you get. Meaning at all cost, learn to control your mouth, your tongue, so you don't speak toxic words, but you speak life-giving words. We need to follow the counsel of Paul in Ephesians 4:29. That's a great verse to memorize. Paul says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything, everybody say everything. Let everything you say be good. Let it be helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear. Paul's saying, hey, when you speak to other people, the words you speak should be words that are what? Good, helpful. That's the criteria. The words should be words that are encouraging to them. So we need to get rid of we need to be people who aren't speaking trash, but we're speaking blessings, words of encouragement. How many people heard this phrase growing up? If you don't have anything good to say, then what? How many people know there'd be a lot quieter places? So let's all say that again. If you don't have anything good to say, then don't say it at all. Can you hear a pin drop in some places? Quiet places. My challenge is, but on the other hand, if you do have something good to say, say it. Say it. You can phone it. You can text it. You can email it. You can send a note if you're old-fashioned. Or I highly advise you just do what? Face-to-face. Just say it. Because your words can be life-giving. They can be like honeycombs. They can be like a tree of life. But so many times we may think something, oh, I need to say that to that person. How much I appreciate them, how wonderful they are. But we just hold back. I know there's a lot of times throughout the week I'll think, man, I need to tell so-and-so this. And when I see them next, and sometimes I forget to say it. But, you know, even this Wednesday, I saw a wonderful dad in our church, great dad, the cream of the crop. And I said, hey, you're a great dad. You're a great husband. How many people know we need to hear those words of encouragement and edification? Man, if I was a teacher in a classroom, what would happen if you just began to speak those words of life? What would our houses be like if we would just begin to say words of life? Our marriage, our relationships, if we just begin to say, I'm committed to get rid of toxic thoughts and words, and I'm committed to speak life in this house. Amen? What would that be like in our church? This is a no-gossip zone. Amen? This is a no-toxic zone. We're going to speak what? Life. Folks, there's so many people that are just on the verge. If you just speak life to them, they could turn their day around. It could be night or day. It could be victory or a loss just by you investing 5 seconds to say the right thing. Amen? Last one, I challenge you to speak life-giving words. You need to hear this to yourself. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I had a great Joyce Myers quote in my PowerPoint, but I'll read it. Listen to what she says, and I'll be very precise. People believe more of what they hear their own voice say than any other voice in the world. So she says, so check your self-talk today and ask yourself if your words are bringing life or death. Self-talk. I want to read you a little story. I was going to try to memorize it, and it's not really good practice to read in a sermon, but today we don't really care, okay? Years ago, a successful pastor writing this story. Years ago, I met with a guy from our church. I'll call him Scott. Several minutes into our conversation, I could tell that he battled with a deep and dangerous depression. Trying to discern the severity of this depression, I gently asked him if he ever thought about taking his own life. I wasn't surprised when he said that he thought about it all the time. For the next few minutes or so, Scott told me all the reasons that he had for not living. Toxic self-talk flowed like sewage through a busted dam. I'm not good at anything. No one loves me. I'll never get married. I'm a total failure. On and on, he went on. As a young pastor, I wasn't sure what to do. I'd been there. So I prayed quickly in my mind, asking God for wisdom and direction. I believe God prompted me to do something that I've never done before or since. I grabbed a notepad and told Scott, you're going to give me 100 reasons you have to live. He stared blankly at me as I wrote numbers quickly, making 100 slots for Scott's 100 answers or reasons to live. So I asked him, what's the first reason? Scott said to me, I told you I don't have any reason to live. Now backing down, I pressed him. Tell me something that you're good at, anything, just tell me one thing. Scott conceded and said emotionlessly, he said, okay, I'm a pretty good writer. And he was. He wrote newsletters for his company and unquestionably had a writing talent. There you go, I said as confident as I could. Number one, you're a good writer. Give me number two, I continued. Scott hesitated again. I told you. He started it, and then I interrupt. Number two, I asked, not taking no for an answer. He said, I'm funny. Scott said without cracking a smile, people tell me I'm funny. And he was a funny guy with a seriously dry and witty sense of humor. So I wrote that down and said out loud for effect, number two, you're funny. Then I said, number three, I asked him, not letting up. He said, I look like Robert Redford. Looking as serious as he could be. Now, I don't want to undermine everything I've written in this chapter by saying something negative, but Robert Redford, he was not. So I simply wrote down, while reading slowly, yes, you are very funny. He finally showed a hint of a smile, a small breakthrough. Number four, I said, trying to keep the ball rolling. Before long, Scott started getting into the exercise. Eventually, he gave reason after reason after reason of things that he was good at, reasons to live. I was filling in the blanks so quickly. Scott worked, and he began to get through the negative talk and begin to say positive things like he had a sister who looked up to him. He had a small group of people that he prayed for daily. He served Thanksgiving meal each year at a homeless shelter. He sponsored a Compassion International child in Chile. One by one, we plowed through the 100 specific and different reasons why Scott should live. At the end of our time together, Scott seemed genuinely touched. I recommended a trained counselor that he agreed to see. Then I prayed for Scott and gave him the list of reasons to live. Several months later, Scott moved to another town, and I lost track of him. Here's the end. You can only imagine how shocked I was a dozen years or so later to see him walk up to me after church to introduce his wife and son. He tried to thank me for our time together, but couldn't get his words out because of his tears. I'll never forget the moment when Scott reached into his pocket, pulled out his wallet, and presented to me a tattered sheet of paper with 100 reasons why he should live. He carried it with him all these years as a reminder, and he handed me the sheet of paper and said, I don't need this anymore. God has written 100 reasons why I should live on my heart. Amen. You know, some of us just need to begin to have some good, positive self-talk. And I'm not talking name it, claim it. I'm talking about what are the gifts? What are the things that God has blessed you with? What are the promises of Scripture? And we need to get that, and we need to quit the negative talk. There's so many times we walk around, I can't do that. Oh, I'll never do that. I could never do that. That's too big of a thing. Well, if God's called you to it, how many people know the promises? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen? So in conclusion today, we're going to wrap this up. I just want to address three groups of people. Number one, those who have been receiving on the receiving end of negative toxic words. I want to just encourage those people one more time, and I want to make it clear, you are not who other people say you are. You are who God says you are. Amen? And if someone said something nasty to you years ago, you need to stand on the truth of God's word. And here's another thing you need to do. You need to forgive that other person. You can't just carry that unforgiveness around saying, ugh, and replaying it. You need to say, this is what God says about me. I'm more than a conqueror. God is for me, not against me. Amen? And you need to forgive that person. You can't live in that bondage, that poison of unforgiveness. Number two, for those who have spoken toxic words to others, I want to challenge you this week to begin to really think before you speak. How many people have that problem? Begin to think before you speak. And if it's something that's not going to edify and encourage and build up, you might just want to swallow those words. I would say maybe we should change that to might and do it and begin to look at the good things in people and begin to speak words that are going to build people up. Parents, you have such a power. Your words are so powerful to your kids. I think sometimes the difference between a defeated kid and a kid that's got victory in their life may be the words that the parents spoke to them. Could we just say more to our kids, I'm proud of you, you're great, you can do it. Last thing, those who have spoken toxic words to themselves, I want to challenge you to listen to your self-talk and begin to speak words of truth from the Word of God over yourself. That's why, like last week, we need to begin to memorize Bible verses, scriptures, get those truths into your life. Begin to say what God says about you. I mean, God created you in His image and His likeness. You're a child of God. You're special. Amen? So I want to encourage us today, what is one barrier that can keep people from becoming more like Christ is the words that are spoken. And I want to encourage us as a group of people to leave here today and let's begin to change the environments where we're at and begin to speak life. Amen? So how would it feel if I said, you bunch of dummies, now go home and live for God? You wouldn't come back to this church. But you wonderful people whose salvation has been purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ, you who are saints of God, children of God through faith in Christ, now go out and live for Him. Amen? Amen. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together. May our words this week bring life, not death. May our words bring healing. May they be as sweet as a honeycomb to those who hear today or hear our words this week. It might be the person that's hurting at work. It might be the person that's hurting at home. So Lord, would you possibly use us this week to minister to other people by simply speaking life? Lord, I think especially at home, there's so much death that's spoken in the world. May our house be a place of haven, where they be havens of health and life. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you'll help us, Holy Spirit, to speak life-giving words this week. May we be quick to listen. May we be slow to speak. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Let's have a great day. God bless you.